Recorded Books and RB Digital present Iron Gold by Pierce Brown. Narrated by John Curlis, Julian Elfer, Aideen Maloney, and Tim Gerard Reynolds. The Fall of Mercury. The Fury. Silent, she waits for the sky to fall, standing upon an island of volcanic rock amidst a black sea. The long moonless night yawns before her. The only sounds, a flapping banner of war, held in her lover's hand, and the warm waves that kiss her steel boots. Her heart is heavy, her spirit wild. Peerless knights tower behind her, salt spray beads on her family crests. Emerald centaurs, screaming eagles, gold sphinxes, and the crowned skull of her father's grim house. Her golden eyes look to the heavens, waiting. The water heaves in, out, the heartbeat of her silence. The City. Tyche, the jewel of Mercury, hunches in fear between the mountains and the sun. Her famed glass and limestone spires are dark. The ancestor bridge is empty. Here, Lorn Au Arcus wept as a young man when he saw the messenger planet at sunset for the first time. Now, trash rolls through her streets, pushed by salty summer wind. Gone are the calls of the fishmongers at the wharf. Gone are the patter of pedestrian feet on the cobbles and the rubble of air cars and the laughter of the low-colour children who jump from the bridges into the waves on scorching summer days when the Trasmian sea winds are still. The city is quiet. Its wealthy already gone to desert mountain retreats or government bunkers, its soldiers on its rooftops watching the sky. Its poor, having left for the desert, or upon cramped boats destined for the Izmir Islands. But the city is not empty. Huddled masses fill the public transit systems that wend beneath the waves, and in the upstairs window of a tenement complex on the ugly fringes of the city, far from the water where the working poor are kept, a little girl with orange eyes fogs the window with her breath. The night sky sparks, flashing and flaring with spurts of light like the fireworks her brother sometimes buys at the corner shop. She's been told there is a battle between big fleets high up there. She has never seen a starship. Her mother lies sick in the bedroom, unable to travel. Her father, who builds parts for engines, sits at the little plastic dinner table with his sons, knowing he cannot protect them. The hollow can washes them in pale light. Government news programs tell them to seek shelter. In her pocket, the girl carries a folded piece of paper that she found in the gutter. On it is a little curved sword. She's seen it before on the cube. Her teachers at the government school say it brings chaos, war. It has set the spheres on fire. But now she secretly draws the blade in the fog her breath has made on the window, and she feels brave. Then the bombs begin to fall. The bombs. They come from high-orbit Thor-class bombers piloted by farm boys from Earth and miners from Mars of the 12th Sunshine Squadron. Curses and prayers and tribal dragons and curved scythes have been sprayed upon them in aerosol paint. They dip through the clouds and fall over the sea, outracing their own sound. Their guidance chips are made by Free Colors on Phobos. Their steel is mined and smelted by entrepreneurs in the belt. Their iron propulsion engines are stamped with the winged heel of a company that makes consumer electronics and toiletries and weapons. Down and down they go to race shadow.